Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Do you really want to live forever? Forever? Never?
Jay-Z becomes crazy. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and today on the show, what it means to be a middle-aged MC. And later, we reverse the aging process as traditional throat singing and ancient instruments from Central Asia get a roots music update from the Chinese folk band Hangai. They'll play live in our studio. But we start today with a disclaimer. On the show today, rappers who are pushing 40 will be referred to as middle-aged. Now, I know that some of you, like me, are older than this guy, 39-year-old veteran MC Jay-Z, and you don't think of yourself as anywhere near middle age. So we here at Soundcheck would just like to state, for the record, that you're only as young as you feel. Okay, good. So we've got that out of the way, and now I can safely say, I hope, that Jay-Z is getting up there. Throughout its history, rap has been the domain of artists in their teens and 20s, and we'll talk about why that is in a moment in the second of a two-part series on durability in music. But first, music writer Oliver Wang joins us by phone to weigh in on the new Jay-Z album. It's called The Blueprint 3. Hi, Oliver.
Hey, good to be back.
So this is the number one album this week on the Billboard Top 200, his eighth straight as a solo artist, his 11th number one album in all. What is his secret?
You know, I've been thinking about this question for the last few days. I don't know if I have one. I think if there was something to suss out, it's something that other artists would have figured out how to do. And the fact that Jay-Z's longevity and success, I don't want to say it's completely unprecedented, but he's certainly in rarefied company. And I don't know what sort of that magic is, but I do think that part of it has to do with, as a creative force, he's been very consistent and trying to always push himself stylistically in new directions, so he's not sort of resting on his laurels. And the fact that he's been successful in the past gives him the kind of resources in terms of both money to spend on his productions as well as the people that he can collaborate with that helps keep him current with, you know, other younger artists that I think help maintain help sort of maintain his image within a younger crowd.
Right. So the new record does have, you know, some of the current crop of emerging stars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell that this is the work of a guy who is pushing 40 and has been in the business a good long time?
Well, I think you can tell because he keeps reminding you how long he's been around for. I mean, he has a song called Reminder on the album, so it's not necessarily very subtle. And I think, you know, I don't know if there's something that you can intrinsically hear in his album that would suggest his age, if not for the actual lyrical references to it. But it's something that I think Jay-Z has always, it's been a point of pride, especially for his last few albums, just to keep reminding people, you know, I've been here since the early 90s. I've outlasted everybody. You know, it's a point of pride for him.
Now, you said that he, you know, kind of takes on this continual challenge to reinvent himself, to not kind of rest on earlier laurels and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is part of that just a result of acknowledging that he's been around a long time and is, you know, aging perhaps out of the demographic that he started in, where it was all about the street and the types of behaviors that you might expect from a 19-year-old and not a 39-year-old?
I think it's possible, though. With Jay, it's always very interesting because, you know, the mythology, and I don't mean that as a fiction, but just the ways in which he's turned his past as a small-time drug dealer in Brooklyn in the late 80s or early 90s, and that's been such a huge part of his the mythology of his persona, and that he keeps coming back to that. I mean, his last album, American Gangster, in a lot of ways was a huge revisit of that idea. You know, I think there's a way in which he wants to be able to hold on to that part of his past as a way of reminding people where he's been. So it's not that he's always sort of in the now, That said, on this new album, I thought one of the really interesting things about it, too, is that you have these two songs back-to-back onto the next one, and off that, both songs are all about how I don't want to be stuck in the past, I want to be moving forward, and let me rap to you about how I'm moving forward. So there's kind of this internal tension and contradiction, in a sense, between him both. He repeatedly resurrects the past, but he's also future-focused.
Now, you mentioned the song On to the Next One. I think this is one of the songs where he actually mentions Auto-Tune. There, of course, is the hit, the single, Death of Auto-Tune.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So he's kind of, you know, throwing down to all of the producers who are out there who rely on gizmos to make records work. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is, I, if I'm not mistaken, it's a very quick little joke that he inserts into this song. He mentions Auto-Tune, and then he actually uses it for a brief second or two.
Yeah.
But let's talk about Death of Auto-Tune, DOA.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
I mean, I think Jay felt like, you know, the annoyance or... I think the feeling that people are sort of fed up with how ubiquitous Auto-Tune has become, especially in contemporary R&B and hip-hop production, you know, probably 2008 was, you know, the either the zenith or the apotheosis of this production style, depending on your perspective. And I think Jay decided to kind of throw down the gauntlet and say, you know, enough already. Like, we've mined everything there is to get out of this gimmick, in essence. Let's just leave it alone. And, I mean, I think Jay was being deliberately provocative. I think this was him wanting to find a way to be relevant in a moment where everyone around him is sort of using this style. And I think it's very notable that even his proteges like, you know, Kanye West. I mean, Kanye West made an entire album off of Auto-Tune. So, I mean, who is he speaking to? He's basically speaking to his friends and colleagues. As well as to his competitors.
Sing a song, wrong. This ain't politically correct. This might offend my political connects. My raps don't have melodies. This shit make jackass want go and commit felonies. Get your chain took in. I may do it myself, I'm so Brooklyn. I know we facing a recession, but the music y'all making gon' make it the Great Depression. Or your lack of aggression. Pull your skirt back down, throw a set, man. Yeah, this just violent. This is Death of Auto-Tune, moment of silence. La da da da. Hey, good.
Well, there is some willfully out-of-tune singing there from Jay-Z on the song Death of Auto-Tune. We're speaking with Oliver Wang, the music journalist who contributes to the LA Times and NPR. The album by Jay-Z is called The Blueprint 3, the work of a guy who is about to turn 40. There is much, Oliver, much, you know, wringing of hands and gnashing of teeth in the music press about the fact that this guy still seems to be on the top of his game so late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Is the album that good?
I think it depends on how you look at it. My feeling with it is I think it's probably the best thing that he's put out since his retirement. And you can't see this because it's radio, but I'm putting retirement in scare quotes. But I think the last two albums have been a lot more uneven. So I think this is a more consistent album. I think for people who are big fans of Jay-Z from the era of when he was putting things out like the Blueprint 1 and the Black album, this is going to come off seeming, I think, way too commercial. For me, I guess what I liked about it, and it's strange because I've had the same conversation with several colleagues, is that the more we listen to the album, the more we like it, even though I don't think any of us had a really favorable impression on first pass. But by the fourth, fifth time, it's, you know, something about it really improves. And I think part of it for me is that it's a really savvy album. Like, I really have to give, from a strategic point of view, I have to give Jay-Z a lot of credit for creating a really commercially viable album and doing it in a way that is not as, you know, it's not, I think, in a naked way that it's or I shouldn't say naked, but like in a very gimmicky way that it's trying to be, you know, commercially salient. I just think he has a good sense of what this current state of music is, what's going to work within it, and finding songs that fit within that. And that's not an easy thing to do. I don't think it's an easy thing to do. So I'm giving Jay some credit here with, I think, this sort of savviness and working that way in. And I think the songs they're likable as pop songs. I don't think it's the best work he's ever put out. I think his flow is a little awkward at times on several songs. But for the most part, it's a better album than I think a lot of people would have expected, considering that it's his, I can't even keep track now, it's either his 11th or 13th solo album. So, I mean, after that amount of time, if he can put out, just a solidly good album, that's sort of an accomplishment in and of itself.
Right. So 11 solo albums, there are the collaborative things as well. It does get hard to keep track of all the things this guy has had his hand in, including, and he sort of alludes to this several times in the Blueprint 3, including a sort of association, let's put it, with Barack Obama. You know, very early on, he's talking about taking you to the White House in the record. I mean, is this a case of, making hay while the sun shines?
I think Jay, along with Young Jeezy, who's one of his frequent collaborators, they had a song about My President is Black that came out during the run-up to the election. Jay, I think partially through really his marriage to Beyonce, because Beyonce was invited to the inaugural concert. Jay-Z came along with that. Was Jay-Z a promoter of Barack? Certainly. Do I think that in some small way he perhaps helped galvanize part of the youth audience to sort of get involved in the last election? I think that's probably a fair thing to say. Is he the reason why Barack is sitting in the White House? I would not go as far to say that.
No, but Barack Obama was the one who said that Jay-Z, when people ask what's on your iPod, that was like the first name out of his mouth.
Sure.
The clip that we heard, Death of Autotune, even though we just heard, a minute of it, it was a pretty representative sampling of the album, The Blueprint 3, because already you heard him name-checking his hometown. He mentions Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
New York is just, it's kind of like not just the backdrop, it's a character on the songs of this album.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about Empire State of Mind, which is the number two single on iTunes today.
Yeah, it's a new song. He does it with Alicia Keys, who's singing on the chorus there. This might be some real insider baseball nerdology here, but I did note that the song itself uses a sample from a song called "Love on a Two-Way Street" by The Moments, and it's actually a New Jersey record. So he's sort of building a song about New York City using a sample of a New Jersey artist. I don't know if that's a contradiction, a sonic contradiction of sorts. But in any case,
I'm going to agree with you, Oliver. That is true music nerdology. Let's hear a little bit of the song.
Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to De Niro, but I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra, and since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem, all of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pull me back to that McDonald's, took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus, driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy, home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my ties, sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. Nigga, I be spiked out, I could trip a referee, tell by my attitude that I most definitely from.
That is Jay-Z and Empire State of Mind with Alicia Keys. Oliver Wang, in talking about Jay-Z, you said that he's the rap equivalent of Bruce Springsteen or U2. What did you mean by that?
Well, I meant it more in terms of the fact that he's been around for so long that with every new album, when you're first starting off and you're on your maybe, if you're lucky enough to have a second or third album, you're really trying to find a way to reinvent yourself to make each new release a big event. But when you have 10 plus albums to your name, so like a Bruce Springsteen, like a U2, it's sort of hard to try to reintroduce yourself as something brand new or special in a way, because you've just been around for so long. There's a familiarity with it. So I think in some ways the best that you can do is just to put out a good product, but you're not going to make the same kind of just new-on-the-scene splash that you might have when you first burst out. And I think that because hip-hop is so few other examples to that, you know, besides Jay, I mean, the number of rappers who have 10 albums, is you could probably count on a single hand. So I think I meant both in terms of his stature as well as longevity. I think it's sort of, you have to sort of turn to the rock world in a lot of ways to find other examples, because they don't exist within hip-hop.
Oliver Wang is a music journalist who contributes to the L.A. Times and NPR, and he's been talking with us about the new Jay-Z album, The Blueprint 3. Oliver, thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure.
This is Rock Nation. Pledge your allegiance. Get your boutiques on. All black everything. Black cars, all black everything. And our girls are black birds, riding with their diligence. I can't more in depth if you boys really real enough. This is not familiar. I'll explain later. But for now, let me get back to this paper.
Well, Jay-Z may be faring well, but what about other rappers who are nearing middle age? Listeners, we want to hear from you. Which hip-hop stars have still got it at age 40 or even beyond? You can give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, or leave a comment on the soundcheck page of our website, wnyc.org. And coming up later, we go from the death of autotune to the rebirth of throat singing with a live performance from the China-based folk group known as Hungai. That's coming up later on Soundcheck.
Next to me, the weaponry, the secret recipe, hard to peep this deep. It shows I eat with contaminated thoughts. I walk the street with I bay a neck.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. So we were just talking about how the 39-year-old rapper Jay-Z is aging gracefully in a rap world dominated by young artists. This is part two of our series on durability in the music world, and we want to know what you think. What's the secret to staying relevant in rap and hip-hop? Leave a comment on the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org or call us at 212-433-WNYC. This group, The Roots, found new life as the house band on NBC's Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. But other artists, including many of the founding fathers of rap, have struggled in their 30s and 40s. New York Magazine contributor Josh Ells wrote about what you might call rap's middle age, and he joins us by phone from Portland, Oregon. Josh, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thanks. Good to be here.
So why is, yesterday we were talking about, you know, pop artists, I mean, Bob Dylan, Mick Jagger, Willie Nelson, Dolly Parton, I mean, artists who continually, you know, are going strong in their 60s and 70s. Why is 30 middle-aged in the world of rap?
Well, I think it's for a few reasons. You know, Oliver brought up Bruce and U2, and it seems like when you get old in rock, it's not really a big deal. You know, I think Bruce Springsteen is actually on, he's turning 60 this year, I think, and he's on the cover of AARP magazine right now.
Is that true?
But yeah.
Aye, aye, aye.
And Bono's pushing 50, but you don't really, it's not really an issue for these guys. But hip-hop is so, it's so youth-focused and it's so forward-looking that it's really easy to you know, you're only as good as your last hot single, and it's really easy to sort of get left behind.
Yeah, but Josh, I mean, you know, think of classic rock. I mean, The Who, I Hope I Die Before I Get Old, and The Stones famously saying they didn't want to live past 30 and things like that. I mean, you know, rock was a youth-oriented musical movement, too.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think also part of it is this is sort of the first generation. You know, we might be seeing this for the first time, because the earliest rappers, you know, you got your Run DMCs and your KRS-One's or whoever, they sort of, there was a lot of evolution going on really fast in hip-hop, sort of in the late 80s, and these guys got left behind. They seemed really quaint really fast, because they were talking about, you know, their Adidas shoes or, you know, hanging out on the corner, and you know, that came to seem really innocent, and they sort of got left behind by the change in style and in content in hip-hop that happened sort of in the early 90s. And so we're seeing these guys, the Jay-Z's and the Ghostface Killahs and the Roots of the world, who were really the first ones to age in hip-hop. So we're seeing how they handle it for really the first time.
We're speaking with Josh Ells, a music journalist who writes for New York Magazine. Comments coming in on the Soundcheck page, WNYC.org. Let's go into the control room and producer Joel Meyer. Joel?
John, two women on the site mentioning some names of artists that they think are still relevant today in hip-hop and rap. Sandra from Astoria, Queens writes, "The Roots are still amazing. Common, Mos Def," and she writes, "I still love Chuck D, who may not be producing much music anymore, but he remains relevant with his political activism." Someone named Gal from Brooklyn mentions Talib Kweli and DJ Premier and a show that she just saw. Two guys on our site, however, are starting something. Jason from Midtown writes, "Props should be given to the Beastie Boys because they're older, still around, and have been doing it for much longer." But James from Brooklyn writes, "Beastie Boys are boring and built for boys in the burbs."
Josh, you want to weigh in?
I think the Beastie Boys are still good. You know, anytime you can be in your 40s and headlining festivals, which they were supposed to do until
Adam
was,
yeah.
Right, exactly.
Adam,
diagnosed with
throat cancer, right. But not only were they supposed to headline the All Points West Festival, but it was Jay-Z who took their
exactly.
place. And what did he do when he got on stage? He did a classic Beastie Boys song. He did No Sleep Till Brooklyn. So
right.
I guess he thinks they're okay. What about the idea of say, let's take Chuck D, as one of our listeners suggested, who may not be producing much right now but is still relevant. I mean, how much of a rapper's relevance is in the content, the words, as opposed to what the records sound like?
I think it's pretty much all of it. I mean, actually, Chuck D is sort of producing music, even though you might not know about it, and that's where relevance comes in. I mean, Public Enemy put out an album, I think, 2 years ago, and they're very much making music, but we just don't hear about it anymore because, to be frank, Chuck D is old, and most hip hop listeners don't want to listen to what they think of as old people. Public Enemy is an interesting example, actually, because they, much like Jay-Z, you know, a lot of these other guys first get famous when they're teenagers or in their 20s. I think LL Cool J was like 17 when his first album came out. But Jay-Z and Public Enemy both were a little older. Jay-Z's first album didn't come out until he was 27, I think.
Right, but Josh, the people who bought those records, they haven't stopped aging. You know, they're moving right along with Jay-Z and Ghostface Killah and Chuck D. And so, you know, the where are the 40-year-old rap fans? What are they listening to?
Well, I think the 400 or so thousand of them are listening to Jay-Z at least. You know, he's still selling records, and people. When Oliver mentioned his comeback album in 2006, Kingdom Come, and at the time, a lot of the talk was people don't want to hear Jay-Z rap about retiring or hanging out on the beach or, you know, flying around with Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin, but apparently they do because, you know, people are still buying his records.
All right, so who else has aged well?
I think Snoop Dogg has aged quite well. He's still making hits. He's still hit a hit single last year, and he's sort of flexible enough that he's kind of changed his style a little bit. You know, his song last year, "Sensual Seduction," mm-hmm. was basically an R&B song.
That's this one.
She might be with him, but she's thinking about me. We don't go to the mall, we don't go out to eat. All that we ever do is play in the sheets. Smoke us a cigarette, then go back to sleep. Cause we done got a sensual seduction.
That is Snoop Dogg, reality TV star and a rapper, and his hit from last year called Sensual Seduction. We're speaking with Josh Ells, music journalist who writes for New York Magazine, on the line. Josh, that doesn't sound like real hardcore hip-hop to me. I mean, it's much more, you know, kind of pop, R&B inflected.
Exactly. And that's sort of that's the approach that a lot of guys are taking as they get older. You know, authenticity is huge in hip hop, and if people aren't if listeners aren't buying what you're saying, then they're not going to listen. They're not going to keep picking up your records. And you have to, once you reach the point where Snoop Dogg obviously isn't out, he's not out selling drugs anymore, he's not shooting anybody, and so it would seem pretty silly for a guy who's starring in Chrysler commercials with Lee Iacocca to be talking about still being out on the street. So you have to sort of switch gears a little bit.
Well, Snoop Dogg certainly switched gears. Let's see what Eddie from the Bronx is on the line. Let's see what Eddie has to say. Eddie, who's out there who's aged well in the rap world?
Personally, I believe that Raekwon, Wu-Tang Clan, just came out with a new album, Only Built for Cuban Links, mm-hmm. and the album is awesome. I love it. I've been bored recently with hip-hop. Is going too commercial, too popcorn music, if you will. And Raekwon has kept it, how shall I say, real street.
Uh-huh.
And it makes me feel like there's real hip-hop out there. I also bought Jay-Z's album. Like Oliver was saying, it grew on me.
Uh-huh.
But Raekwon's album from the beginning, it hit me. I love the way he married the beats with his lyrics, his storytelling. And it made me feel like, for real, there's still good hip-hop out there. He's a bit more underground than Jay-Z, not as successful, but he's been around longer.
And he too, is, you know, in what we would have to call middle age for a rapper. Eddie, how old are you?
35.
So does this feel like the music of your peers? Does it feel like music from someone who's a bit older? Or do you like it because it sounds younger?
Well, it still has a young ring to it, a young beat. He can still relate to the younger crowd. But at the same time, I grew up with him, and he's grown up with me as well. So I feel like it's from my peers. It's people that can relate to the struggles I went through as a youth, and I continue to go through.
Josh, that's kind of what I was wondering about when I asked you, where is the audience of Eddie's? You know, the people who have grown up with hip-hop, where are the first-generation rappers and their audiences? Where are the fans of Curtis Blow and Afrika Bambaataa and stuff like that? I got to think that they would be not turned off by hearing, you know, Jay-Z rapping about, you know, jetting around with Gwyneth Paltrow and stuff like that. Because not that it reflects their lives, but at least reflects their age, the age group.
Sure, sure. And, you know, that's what, sort of what Jay-Z is saying, and brilliant innovator that he is. I think a lot of people didn't buy it at first, and they thought, how can this guy be out here talking about being a grown-up and nobody wants to hear that? You know, that's in a hip-hop, admitting vulnerability or weakness is pretty verboten, and getting older is, you know, it's vulnerable. But Jay-Z, sort of by putting himself out there, is making it more okay for rappers to say, yeah, you know what, I'm getting older and I'm not interested in the things I used to be, and there's some things I can't do as well as maybe I once could, but that's okay.
So you think that that's actually perhaps a good, I don't know, he's blazing a trail for future rappers?
I think so, and I think, you know, we're seeing that, especially this fall. There's a few other albums coming out. You know, Eddie brought up Raekwon, who's mm-hmm. sort of taking a different approach. He's still rapping about the same drugs and guns that he always was. But his partner in the Wu-Tang Clan, Ghostface Killah, has an album coming out, much like Snoop Dogg, that is
more
R&B.
Yeah, more
right.
R&B inflected. We've been speaking with Josh Ells, the music journalist who writes for New York Magazine. Josh, thanks for being with us on Soundcheck today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's go back into the control room and a final check with Joel Meyer of some of the comments coming in at the Soundcheck page, WNYC.org. Joel?
Well, our listener, Hip Hop Junkie from Brooklyn Seconds, the caller that we heard just before, saying that Raekwon album, the new album, is much better than Jay-Z's new album. And we got another comment from Jason in Midtown, who we'll give the final word to. He writes, longevity has more to do with relevance and popularity at concerts and tours throughout the years, not one person's opinion. I don't think anyone can question the longevity and the contributions that the Beastie Boys have made in hip-hop.
Mic check. Mic check. One, two, three. Too many rappers and it's still not enough MCs. It goes three, two, one. MCA, Ad Rock, Mike D. That's how we get it done. Like, ladies and gents, attention.
You want to talk about durability in music? The Beastie Boys, they are still at it. This song, Too Many Rappers, is from their delayed new album, which will be called Hot Sauce Committee Part 1. And still to come on Soundcheck today, the Chinese folk group Hungai gives Mongolian roots music a modern twist. They'll give their first ever American performance right here in our studio. And tune in next week to learn how you can keep urban noise from affecting your health. That's Monday on Soundcheck.
Oh my God, just look at me. Grandpa been rapping since 83 on Supersonic like J.J.
Check out today's Soundcheck blog.
I'm not buying the hip-hop is a young man's argument. Rock was supposed to be all about youthful rebellion and hoping to die before I get old and all that stuff. But they're all still around, so where are the elder statesmen of hip-hop?
For the rest of the story, visit the Soundcheck page at WNYC.org.